Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the phone with me for this segment, I have Dr. Peter Ward of the U.S. Geological Survey, retired. He is the author of a new book titled, What Really Causes Global Warming, Greenhouse Gases, or Ozone Depletion? Well, thank you very much for joining me today, Dr. Ward. Appreciate the time.
Well, thank you, Stephen.
Now, first of all, tell us a little bit about your background.
I was 27 years of the United States Geological Survey up in Menlo Park, California. I retired some years ago, and in retirement, I discovered something about climate that just didn't make sense. About 11 years ago, I decided after looking at it in some detail that this was important. So I've dedicated my life for the last 11 years to try to understand how climate change really works.
Now, you say that there's a flaw in the greenhouse warming theory. Before you tell us a little bit about that, tell us, for the layperson, tell us what is greenhouse warming theory?
Most scientists today believe the greenhouse gases absorb infrared energy from the Earth, and as a result of that absorbed energy, cause warming of the Earth. Now, there is no question that greenhouse gases do absorb infrared radiation, but whether that causes Earth warming or not is much less settled than most scientists think it is.
Now, what is the flaw in the greenhouse warming theory, according to you?
Basically, it turns out the problem is the way they are calculating energy. And what they calculate is that the energy in the infrared is more than the energy in the ultraviolet. But ultraviolet is what causes sunburn. It's what causes cataracts and skin cancer. The infrared, you could stand on the infrared radiation coming up from Earth for the rest of your life, and you would never get sunburn or skin cancer. So there's a fundamental mistake in the mathematics of how they calculate radiation. And that has, on top of all that, has been built the greenhouse gas house of cards.
We've all heard about depletion of the ozone layer, and we'd heard that it was getting better. But has this problem come back, or is it a new problem?
It's actually not getting much better. The ozone layer was depleted starting around 1970. It turns out we finally figured out because man is manufacturing chlorofluorocarbon gases. And these gases, known as CFCs, are used for refrigerants in your air conditioner and your refrigerator. They're used for solvents. They were used in spray cans. Remember back in 1970, you could buy almost anything in a spray can.
Right.
And the reason was that they just didn't interact with anything. So they were very inert chemicals. It just didn't make much change. But it turns out when they get up into the stratosphere, they're broken down by ultraviolet light from the sun, releasing atoms of chlorine. And one little teeny atom of chlorine in the ozone layer can destroy 100,000 molecules of ozone. So the leverage here is huge. It's kind of the Achilles heel of the atmosphere. In 1985, we discovered the Antarctic ozone hole. And the scientists said, whoa, this is a bigger problem than we thought it was. And within 2 years, scientists and political leaders worked together to pass the Montreal Protocol on substances that deplete the ozone layer. And sure enough, by 1993, the increases in CFC gases stopped. In 1995, the increases in ozone depletion stopped. In 1998, the increases in temperature stopped. And temperature was pretty constant up until 2014. So it appears that man did cause the depletion of the ozone layer. And while we were trying to save the ozone hole, accidentally, we ended up stopping the increase in global warming. Problem is, the ozone layer still remains depleted. It has not recovered much. And as long as that's the case, we continue to melt ice, sea level continues to rise, and we still have problems to deal with.
You just gave us a rundown of the ozone layer. How is that different than the greenhouse warming theory?
When you deplete the ozone layer, we measure that more ultraviolet B radiation reaches Earth. This is observed, well observed. And ultraviolet B radiation is much hotter than infrared radiation, and this causes warming of Earth. As I say, it causes sunburn. And the problem, we go back where what I started out earlier about, the problem is in calculating the energy. current climate models say there is more energy in the infrared than there is in the ultraviolet because of the mathematics they use.
Now, what can we do to protect ourselves, or do we need to protect ourselves?
Well, the first part of my story is that greenhouse gases do not appear to be the main cause of global warming. Therefore, reducing greenhouse gas emissions is not likely to be economically viable. More important for us as individuals, ozone depletion means that each of us is more susceptible now to sunburn, skin cancer, cataracts. It's very important, especially in places like Southern California, to be aware that when you're outdoors now, it's more important than ever to have on sun cream that is rated for UVB, ultraviolet B, which is what does the damage. It's more important to have your sunglasses on. It's more important to cover up after you enjoy a few of those sun rays. So there are things that we need to do today for each of us individually to reduce our risk from the fact that ozone remains depleted.
Now, I thought that carbon had something to do with the current global warming theory.
Well, carbon is, when we talk about CO2, carbon dioxide, that's where the carbon comes in. And the current belief is that carbon dioxide and the increases of that due to burning of fossil fuel is what is causing the global warming. What I'm saying now is when we understand how to calculate energy correctly, it does not appear that carbon dioxide is causing or even can physically cause the global warming that we have been observing.
Okay, how can we get through all the political noise to get this message out to people?
Well, I've been fighting this now for several years, and just to get scientists to stop and realize there might be a problem with their theory has turned out to be exceedingly difficult.
I can imagine.
You know, one of the reasons I'm doing radio shows like this and I'm publishing op-eds and papers and getting out scientific papers and so on is I just want to get people to stop and think. What's happened in the climate debates is they've gotten so bitter and so vitriolic that people are in their corners just lobbing mud pies at each other. We need to step back from the fray and have a reasoned scientific discussion. There's been this huge emphasis since 1988 to demonstrate scientific consensus. But science is not done by consensus. Politics is supposed to be done by consensus, but science is done by debate. And unfortunately, this drive for consensus to try to convince political leaders they have to take action has squashed scientific debate. So what I'm trying most of all is to bring back genuine scientific debate about the climate.
Okay, so what do you say to those who disagree with your theory?
Well, I say, where's your data? And even more so, you don't understand what I'm saying. You need to read more carefully what I'm saying. I mean, I was talking to a very senior leader in the climate community of a major government laboratory in the United States a little while ago, and he said, Peter, there is just no way that you could be correct and all the rest of us are wrong. And I said, well, can you give me a scientific reason? He couldn't. He still can't. He just published a major national report which says things that I can prove from what we see in the geologic record are simply wrong.
So what progress have you made with other scientists and the public about getting this message out?
Well, I've been working 11 years trying to understand the science.
Okay.
And in the last 2 or 3 years, I've been working harder and harder, one, publishing science papers, but two, trying to get the message out one way or another. A couple of years ago, I produced a very short video, which was a plea to scientists to please stop and discuss. I emailed, that video is on YouTube, and I emailed the link to that video to over 2,000 of the top climate scientists in the world. It was basically ignored. They just can't conceive of the fact that there might be a problem. And I'm trying to say, look, it is rather clear there is a problem, and it's very important we straighten this out now. With the Paris Accord, the nations of the world are planning on spending trillions of dollars trying to cut back on greenhouse gases. What if we spend all that money and then people finally understand what I'm saying? That money's been wasted. There are a lot of things we need to spend that money on.
Okay, what is your solution to helping the ozone layer?
Well, the part I haven't discussed yet is the fact that the ozone layer is also depleted by volcanic eruptions. Every volcanic eruption that we've monitored since we've monitored ozone in 1927, any volcanic eruption of size, causes depletion of the ozone layer, which causes global warming. And what got me started on this was the realization that that didn't make sense, because we know that explosive volcanoes like Mount Pinatubo in 1991 are observed to cause cooling of about a degree Fahrenheit for about 2 or 3 years. And this is throughout history. What I've discovered is there are two fundamentally different kinds of volcanoes. There are the volcanoes that explode and put a lot of gases and water up into the stratosphere that form an aerosol, a mist that grows big enough to reflect sunlight, causing cooling. But those same volcanoes also caused warming, but there's net cooling because of those aerosols. Basaltic volcanoes, on the other hand, kind of like the ones we see in Hawaii, except those are small compared to the ones I'm talking about. Basaltic volcanoes do not form aerosols, so they cause net global warming. In 2014, the largest of that kind of volcano since 1783 occurred in Iceland. In 6 months, it covered an area with lava over 33 square miles. That is the reason why 2015 and 2016 are the hottest years on record. And in 2017, it looks like we're already pushing to be the hottest year on record.
Is there anything humans can do to help prevent the depletion of the ozone layer?
We know what caused the ozone layer depletion from 1970 to 1998. We did it. Man did it. It was our mistake. And we've corrected that mistake, but it's not completely corrected. There's still a big black market for these CFC gases, especially in the third world, because they can't afford to replace their refrigerators and air conditioners with new ones. There's still some other kinds of gases that we're beginning to determine are dangerous for the ozone layer. So what we need to do is recognize how important the ozone layer is and switch much of our research over into figuring out what we can do about it. It's a difficult problem because the ozone layer is something rather special in the atmosphere that's driven by very high energy radiation from the sun. And for us to recreate that radiation is very difficult. I mean, we did it with atomic bombs and with nuclear bombs that were in the atmosphere, but that has side effects that we don't want to do. So it is a difficult problem. What I'm saying is we've got to debate this problem, we've got to research it, and we've got to figure out what we can do about it long term.
You have a new book that you just published. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's What Really Causes Global Warming, Greenhouse Gases or Ozone Depletion. It's available on my website, Why Climate Changes. It's available from Amazon or any other internet bookseller. And in that book, I try to explain for the non-scientist audience what the problem is, what the evidence is, and what how it all fits together and what we might do about it. And what I'm trying to get people to recognize is that greenhouse gases is not settled science. There really does appear to be some very serious problems with the whole greenhouse gas theory.
Okay, is there anything you'd like to add in closing?
I think we need to realize that science depends on debate. Science is never settled. We're always learning something new. In science, we have theories and we collect data. And we analyze that data in terms of those theories. And when the data don't fit, we have to rethink the theories. What I'm showing is that the laws is a lot of data that do not fit greenhouse warming theory. And I'm showing that ozone depletion theory explains global warming observed recently and throughout all of geologic history very clearly. So we need to begin to look more carefully.
Okay, Dr. Peter Ward, thank you very much for spending some time with me. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.